Lord God, Good Shepherd, by the leading of your Spirit, help us to listen for your voice and follow in your paths all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The gospel reading is John 10, 11 through 18. Let's see, do I have the page number? Yeah, 1666. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So a few years ago, I watched a documentary called Away From Me, which tells the story of three people who are competing in the International Sheepdog Championships out in Utah. All of you may be thinking, Gray, what was going on in your life that you would watch a movie about border collies? I would tell you, no, this was a very interesting movie. It wasn't the most action-packed or the most well-made movie, but it was interesting. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen border collies who are sheep hoarders. Have you seen these dogs in action? They are truly incredible. These handlers, they can whistle and they can make that dog do exactly what it wants to do from a long distance away. And it's just these little things like, I can't even do it. And it was just like, whoop, whoop. And it's like, that dog's turned left. And it's like another whistle, the dog's turned right. And you see these incredible images. The movie shows this one dog handler who's sending his dogs out. The dog runs down a hill, it runs up a hill, finds the sheep, and it starts to wrangle these sheep. And it is one of the most incredible sights you've ever seen in your life. This dog just herding these sheep all the way down the hill. Go check it out on YouTube. There are these like images of these sheep being herded, and you see the dogs so amazingly herding these sheep. And it's an incredible sight. And you see how the dog protects them. You see how the dog cares for them. You see how the dog is maneuvering with precision and skill. And it's really something to behold. And it made me realize as I was watching this, and the humans were like, oh, these dogs, and they were just gushing about how much they love their dogs. But it's so amazing that our relationship between humans and sheep has been so long that we have now, to this point, domesticated dogs that are trained for one specific purpose, to herd sheep, right? It's incredible. Now, scholars believe that sheep were one of the first animals that humans domesticated, making shepherding one of our oldest occupations. So it should be no surprise to you that the Bible is full of sheep and goats, cows and donkeys, good shepherds and bad shepherds. These were images everybody in that day would have seen and known on a daily basis. There were flocks and shepherds everywhere. So when owning shepherds, herds of sheep, was a sign of power and wealth. So when Ezekiel and Jeremiah used images of the bad shepherd to criticize the king of Israel, the point would have been crystal clear. A good shepherd is concerned with his flock, finding food, water for them, guarding them from predators and thieves, and searching out the lost sheep. But the bad shepherd is self-involved, caring only for himself, and will leave the flock behind in case of danger. The characteristics of a good shepherd led many religions in the ancient world to see shepherding as an essential symbol for their nation's king and the gods that they worshipped. And sometimes those were the exact same things. So Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, Samaria, every one of those nations described their gods or their kings as faithful shepherds, guiding the nation. Israel, of course, used the shepherd imagery extensively in its worship and writing. Jacob gives a blessing to his lost son. Joseph, at the end of Genesis, says, "May the God before whom my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, may he bless you." The most famous psalm starts with what? Say it. It's my shepherd. The nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament is called a flock. One that has often been scattered, or one that has been taken captive. So when Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd in the Gospel of John, there's all this background music playing of the ancient world. You would hear it, you would know it. From the very beginning, Jesus was connected with shepherds, right? The first people who knew of his birth, besides his mama and his daddy, were the shepherds out in the fields. People called him the second King David. What did King David do when he was a boy? He was a shepherd, right? That's how he got so good at slinging those rocks. Jesus even told a parable about the one lost sheep, right? So here, though, in John, Jesus is making connections as clear as possible. He wants you to get the point. And the point that John is trying to make is that by saying Jesus is the Good Shepherd, he is self-identifying with the God of Israel, who had long been described as a shepherd who cares for the flock. Throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus is fulfilling God's work. He is God in the flesh. He is the good shepherd that they were talking about in the Old Testament about God. The good shepherd is right in front of you. He's guiding the way. He's searching out the lost sheep. He's protecting the flock. Jesus is talking about who he is and what his relationships with his followers look like. He is the shepherd. They are the flock. Now, you may notice in this section that Sarah read for us that nowhere does Jesus describe his followers as shepherds or assistant shepherds. Scholar Gail O'Day says this: "Rather, all who gather around Jesus receive their identity as members of the flock." Hear this: there are no other shepherds but Jesus, and we are all part of the flock. This point is important because the church throughout history has made use of the shepherd imagery to describe its leader. I am called a what? What do they call me? Pastor. Does anyone know what pastor means in Latin? Shepherd. You're exactly right. Shepherd. Now, that means that you see me in that way, but some churches appointed shepherds to check in on different groups of congregation members. But we need to be careful by what we mean by using those shepherding terms. Because Jesus here in John is saying something very specific about himself when he says he's the good shepherd that nobody else can offer. It's through Christ's ministry of love and care, grace and peace that we know who God is. That means I, even as your pastor, are a member of the flock with all of you. I am not set apart or special. I am not your gateway to God. I'm just a smelly sheep like the rest of you. Can you smell me? Exactly. That is true for all religious leaders, no matter what they claim for themselves. That means that all of us, the whole church, builds its identity around the one good shepherd, Jesus Christ, not the 20 good shepherds we have appointed. Okay? So Jesus is making a point about who he is and who he belongs to and who we belong to. He is the good shepherd. We are the flock. So here we go. If we're called to be the flock, though, under the guidance of our Lord, what are we to do? We're to do what sheep do, right? And what do sheep do? Follow. Or baa, as y'all were doing back here. Baa. They follow. They listen to the shepherd. They follow his command. I learned a lot about sheep today. Listen, I am a suburban, or I'm a city boy, okay? I'm just going to throw that out here. I know, listen, I'm not from Fayette County. I know it. I know. I didn't do 4-H. But I had to learn about sheep today, this week. And I learned that sheep are social animals. They like to be around other sheep. And in fact, I learned that sheep actually get kind of anxious and not very, they don't like it when they're apart from the flock. And they become harder to handle. That you have to be around, they have to be around one another. They're very social animals, right? And one of the things that I learned this week is that a lot of people think that sheep are really dumb. Right? Really dumb. And so here we go. Lorna says they are. They might be really dumb. I don't know. Are they? Yeah. They might be. But here's what this, listen. Okay. See, y'all will say this, but I read this I read this on a website, and this guy claims to be a very proficient shepherd. Okay, here we go. However, he goes, over the years, I have been told generally by non-sheep people or someone with 10 or 20 sheep that are fed from buckets how dumb sheep are. However, if you pay attention, you cannot help but be impressed by how smart they are to have survived domestication since 10,000 BC. Although many think of their flocking instinct to be a sign of dumbness, it is in fact a community-based survival mechanism where they have learned that their strength is much greater in numbers and their comfort and survival is enhanced as a group rather than as an individual. Not a bad lesson for all of us. Interesting, right? So if we're all sheep in here, we're all trying to listen to the leader and having sheepdogs herd us, right? We should listen to this. We as a church are stronger together than we are individually. Together, we can care for the least among us. We can surround the people who are the weakest with prayer, with food, with visits, with gifts. I got a chance this week. Saturday morning, Rhoda May said, Gray, you can come over. I'm actually going to be home. Drop off that basket that you all made. And you should have seen the generosity that this congregation provided them. Rhoda May didn't even know what to say to me. It was beautiful. It was overwhelming. And I thought, I could not help but think of us surrounding Rhoda May and Sean at that moment with the flock, right? I saw that so clearly that morning. That is something we can do as the flock. Surround ourselves. Surround those who are weak and who are hurting. Together we can protect one another from the wolves out there that seek to separate us from the flock. And you know that there are. The chaos of the world is always threatening us. It's always threatening us. I'm trying to say, don't be a part of this. Don't invest yourself. Don't help. Take care of only yourself. But the flock, being a part of the flock, tells you that together we can protect ourselves. We can protect each of us. And together we can reach out and embrace new members into the flock. Jesus says that in his reading from John. There are other sheep that are not a part of the sheep pen. They hear my voice too. Bring them in. Together we can reach out. We can embrace new members into the flock. Make them feel welcome. Surround them with love. And together we can proclaim the good news of Christ to a world hell-bent on destroying itself. Now, we can do this because we have a good shepherd leading us. We have a shepherd who is guiding the way. And he's taken this daggone crook. And yes, he may be saving you every once in a while, right? As all the kids love. But he's guiding us. I've always seen this crook as a sign of comfort. As a sign of someone who is going to do everything that they can do to look out for you, to protect you, to care for you. That is what the Good Shepherd does for us, and that is what we were called to do for one another as the flock of sheep following the Good Shepherd. So you are all sheep. Let's flock together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.